This message entitled The Credentials of Christ was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on January 24th, 2021 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is John 3:30-36.
He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him.
Father, we want to thank you once again, dear God, for a time to let our hearts be open, dear God, to the direction that you want to take us as we are stepping into this season of Epiphany, now coming into the third Sunday after Epiphany. Lord, it's still got to be obvious. It's got to be conspicuous. It's got to be right out there, dear God, of who Jesus really is. Hallelujah. That's what this season is all about. And that way, when we come to the season of Lent, we will know for a fact who Jesus really is. And there's a lot of speculation of who he is and what he is and what he does and how he acts and all the rest of it. And a lot of it is not true. A lot of it is made up to go along with what people want in their lives. So I pray, dear God, that we would just allow for your word, dear God, to speak fully of the truth of who you really are. So we thank you for this season of Epiphany. Open it up, dear God, to our hearing and to our understanding. And you, Lord, will be over all things. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message today is The Credentials of Christ. The Credentials. I think you probably have an idea of what the word credential is all about. It's basically that he's got the papers. Like if somebody's traveling and they're asking you for your passport, you know, that's part of your credentials. That's who you are. Your picture's going to be in there. Your name's going to be on there and so forth. And you have other credentials, you know. If you have a taillight out or something and a police officer stops you and wants to let you know about that, you get out your license, you get out your registration. These are your credentials, okay? These show who you are and why you are allowed to drive. And, that is, if you are. You are allowed to drive, and you have the paperwork to prove it, okay? There's all kinds of credentials. If you have your own house, you have a deed tucked away somewhere, safe and sound, I hope. You have receipts for things. How many times have you went to look for a receipt when something goes wrong with something that you did a while back, even months ago? You know, and you got to know where to find it, right? There are credentials, and Jesus has credentials as well. All right? I want to start out with this particular illustration. The doctor was talking to this fellow who was pretty overweight, actually. The story calls him obese, but I don't know how heavy he really was. But the doctor said, you absolutely must lose some weight. 6 months from now, I want to see 3/4 of you again. Get it? You cannot lose weight by talking about it. You have to keep your mouth shut. Right? A young housewife was telling her neighbor about the new book on reducing, on losing weight, that she had bought for $15. "Well, how much have you lost so far?" the neighbor asked. "Oh, just," the housewife replied, "just the $15. All right. I recently heard that the key to beginning the new year is not so much your resolutions that you set, because most people do what? They say, "Well, I'm going to go on a diet, right? I'm going to lose 50 pounds, or I'm going to lose 10 pounds, or 20, or whatever it might be. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to go to the health club. I'm going to, you know, do all these different things." They usually don't work out too good. They usually, a lot of people drop the resolutions by the end of January or February, probably at the latest. So it's not so much a matter of the resolutions. It's much more of a matter of spiritual solutions, not resolution, but solution, okay? Spiritual solutions in particular. It's kind of like the point I was making with talking about the characteristics of people. And how Billy Graham's grandson once had a discussion with a lady, and she said, "Oh, you look so much like your grandfather." First of all, he has kind of a problem with that because his grandfather's in his 90s and he's not. So right there, he's not looking too great. But also, you know, there's a matter of the facial characteristics and so forth. And so he said, "So what you're saying is that I have a big nose, big mouth, and what was the other one? Oh, big ears, yeah." And then the book I was getting that out of lines all three of them up on profile, and you can see it. They all got big noses, big ears, and big mouths, all right? But that's just physical characteristics. Those kind of things are there a lot of times through just the, you know, son and grandson and great-grandson and so forth. Those things will sometimes be there. You know, I've told you before, I've got pictures at home in some old albums and so forth where if you didn't, and it's in black and white. If it hadn't been in black and white, you probably wouldn't think anything of it. But Andrew and I, when I was his age, I looked a lot like him. Yeah, I did. See, so you're in trouble. You're in trouble, fella. All right. I got another illustration that I wanted to make the point with. It's about a young woman who went to Florida for the winter, and her chief goal for the new year was a beautiful suntan that she should go back to her office, co-workers in the office, and kind of show off her tan. Well, her first day at the hotel, the young woman ventured to the roof, an ideal place to soak up some sun. Seeing absolutely no one in sight, and having little fear that anyone else was going to venture onto the roof, the woman, she didn't just get into her bathing suit, she got out of her clothes altogether. Okay, she took off all her clothes. But she's up on the roof and nobody can see her. Well, she wasn't on the roof for more than 15 minutes when the roof door opened and a middle-aged man asked her to please get dressed immediately. "We don't really mind you sunbathing on the roof," he explained, "and we're not all that prudish about nudity, but actually, you were on the dining room skylight." Anyway, so much for resolutions, right? Diet, exercise, suntan, you can come up with all these things, and usually don't last. Usually don't. I mean, you can make it last if you want to, but a lot of times they go by the way. If you're going to consider yourself a real beaut, do you think that about does it? The exercise, the diet, the suntan. I mean, it depends on whether you are talking about physically or spiritually, right? I've already told you one good way to be about this spiritually is to be in the Word, to read through the Bible. You know, there's all kinds of plans. There's no shortage of reading plans to get you through the New Testament in a year or the whole Bible in a year or whatever, And you know what? If you find yourself, maybe you got behind by 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days, whatever it might be, just start. Just go to that day and start. Now, you won't have read it all, so you can't get down to the end and go, I read every word of the Bible, you know, throughout the year. You won't be able to do that, but you're still in the Word. Amen? And that's crucial spiritually. Okay? It's crucial. So let's pick up where we left off last week. If you'll remember, we were talking about John the Baptist, because he pretty much starts the Gospel of John out. And specifically, I want to turn to John chapter 3, okay? John chapter 3, and beginning at verse 30, okay? John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And we talked about that a little bit last time. Increase is the Greek word oxkano, and it means to grow or to enlarge, either from within or from without, to increase, okay? But to decrease is just the opposite, to diminish, to make smaller, okay? And in this section of Scripture, we find what I'm calling the credentials of Christ, the right that he has to tell you this. The reason he can go ahead and give you this number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever amount of numbers you want to give it, as his credentials. That he has the right to tell you what to be about and when to be about it and how to be about it and all the rest of it. All right? So verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth, but he that cometh from heaven is above all. All right? Now, Jesus has the right to make that clear, and he's doing it, of course, through John the Baptist and others. It doesn't have to be red letter in order to be from the heart of God. So he's making it clear, okay? You're going to be from the earth, you're going to be earthly. If you're going to be from heaven, then you can be heavenly. And you can do it through him. Okay? You can do it through him. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. Nobody. Okay? They're not listening. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal, right? You know what a seal is? Set to his seal that God is true. In other words, it authenticates it. He's got the authority. Amen? He is the authentic one, Jesus is. Okay? For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, but God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Not little bit by little bit. Piece by piece. He doesn't do it that way. The Greek word here for measure is metron, and it means to be doled out sparingly, moderately. So he's making it clear, it's not just doled out. He doesn't just give you a little bit of Holy Spirit and somebody else a little bit of Holy Spirit. No, he baptizes in Holy Ghost and fire. John said that. John said, I baptize with water, but one's coming after me, and I don't even have the authority. I don't even have the right to take care of his the latchets on his sandals. You know, tie them or untie them. I don't have the authority. I don't have the he can't just call himself authentic. He can't just do things that he wants to do. It's not going to happen by measure. It's not going to happen sparingly. God, when he gives you the Holy Spirit, he gives you the Holy Spirit. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Now, he's making clear that Jesus has everything in his hand. He has the authority. Amen? John the Baptist didn't. No, he said, I need to decrease. But Jesus needs to increase. Amen? And he alone has the authority to tell you what to do. And he does it through his word, too. Amen? Okay? And he that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. A.W. Tozer, you put it this way, and I actually put this in the paper this past week, maybe you saw it. The blight of the Pharisee's heart in olden times was doctrine without love. That's what the Pharisees were about. Doctrine, meaning do this, do that, but without love. We are safe only when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, only when our intellects are indwelt by the loving fire that came at Pentecost. Our Lord told his disciples that love and obedience were organically united. The final test of love is obedience. I've run into so many people that have tried to say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't have to be obedient. I'll never forget, and I've told you a story before. There was a woman in the adult Sunday school class back at the last church who actually got mad at something and showed it, made it clear, I don't have to be obedient. You better check your Bible, because Jesus says that obedience and love are one and the same thing. Obedience is just the love being worked out, being exemplified, being shown. Okay? The final test of love is obedience. And then I added to that quote from Tozer. I said, join us tomorrow as we delve further into the season of Epiphany concerning the woman at the well. And that's what's coming right up. Okay? That's what's coming right up right now. Praise the Lord. There is one thing that lends credibility to Jesus and who he is, and it's this. It's this love, obedience, connection. They are the same thing. If it's a heart relationship and not just legalism, who Jesus is really, and I don't really mean to have a play on words here, but that's when Jesus really nails it down. But it's true. You think of the cross, that was the extreme example of obedience of the Son to the Father. Did what he was supposed to do, did what God wanted him to be about. And immediately following the matter of Jesus increasing, see, there it is in verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. The matter of Jesus increasing, and at the same time we are to decrease, what do we find next? The woman at the well. The Samaritan woman at the well. Let's take a look at this. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this, but I do want to come through it. Are you ready? Chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, and then it says in verse 2, though Jesus himself baptized not, he wasn't running around baptizing anybody. It was John the Baptist that was doing it, and his disciples. His disciples were evidently doing it, it says in verse 2. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, okay? Spent more time in Galilee than anywhere else, okay? Praise God. Now watch this. And he must needs go through Samaria. Jesus didn't go around places to get out of trouble. And that's what a lot of people did back then. Oh, I'm a good Jew. I'm not going to go through Samaria. You know, they're a bunch of heathen. They're not, you know, they don't believe the truth and so forth. So they go around. They go days out of their way to do that. But not Jesus. He went through. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he, oh, by the way, this to needs go literally means to traverse and to pierce through. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. For what? A parcel of ground for what? What was the parcel of ground for? What was it? No guesses? A well. A well. It's where Jesus found the Samaritan woman, at Jacob's well. Amen? Now back up a second. The town is called Sychar. And do you think this means anything? Sychar means, it comes from the word for to be intoxicated and strong drink. Now remember, Samaria is not Jewish. It's another country. And it's right smack dab in the middle, and people either had to go through it or they had to go around it. But Jesus would go through it. Why? Because he knew that if he gave people the gospel, there would be people in Samaria that would jump for it, that would go for it. I'll show you this in a minute. Sychar actually means to imbibe. And a little later on, I'll skip through a little bit here, verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And that verb to drink is the word imbibe, to imbibe. That's what it means in the out of the Greek, that is. Okay? That's the word Sychar, the name of the town where they were located, where this well was located, is a matter of drink. Now, do you understand that that's important? that's important? We talked, was it last week? Recently, anyway, about the changing of the water into wine and how it was not intoxicating beverage. It was grape juice, new wine, and he turned the water into new wine. That's just as much a miracle as turning it into some intoxicating beverage, okay? I just don't picture Jesus, creating a bunch of booze, a bunch of intoxicating beverage for a party. I can't picture Jesus doing that. So let's just understand he didn't. And we went through that in quite a bit of detail last week. Okay? But now it comes up again about this imbibing, about this drinking. Okay? His disciples were gone away, so he's by himself there at the well, and they went into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Jesus, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. They don't get along. Both ways, by the way. Jews to Samaritans and Samaritans to Jews. They tried not to deal with them at all. Okay? We don't have dealings. Okay? We don't have use for each other jointly. Okay? We don't hold intercourse in common with these people. We have no dealings. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Basically, her question then becomes, where are you going to get that living water? Because what's down in this well is just water. Where are you going to get this special water that's going to make you not thirst anymore? Is, you know, where is it? You didn't bring it with you. How can you say this? Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Okay? Now there could be living water in the well, because living water is simply moving water. You know, years ago, when people didn't know better, they would come up to a stream and they would dip their canteen into it, fill it up, and that's what they'd live on all day long while they rode. You know, they had water from the stream. Well, it was cleaner than a lot of water, I'm sure. Certainly cleaner than a stagnant pond, okay? But it's still outdoors. It's still got fish going to the bathroom in it. It's still got a bear up the way around the bend where you can't see him, and he's going to the bathroom in it, okay? You know what I'm saying? All right? So, you know, where's the living water? Where's this water that I'm supposed to be able to drink and I'm not going to be thirsty again? All right? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Are you comparing yourself with Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. You dip down a bucket or whatever into this Jacob's well, you're going to be thirsty again later today, or thirsty the next day. It's going to happen again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Thirst, by the way, now get this, you might want to jot this down. Thirst actually means to be thirsty. That's deep. Andrew even popped up on that one, right? All right. Spiritual, he's talking here, okay? Spiritual. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, that's what Jesus said. And the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now, a lot of people look at that and go, oh, she wants something spiritual. No. You got to remember, this woman is not the most spiritual person in the world. She's been married a bunch of times. You know, who was it I heard the other day has been married 8 times? I never heard of anybody being married that often. Elizabeth Taylor was married a lot of times. This person I'd never heard this of, been married 8 times to 7 different women. Must have got remarried. So I don't know who it was. But, you know, she's had a bunch of husbands. That comes up in a little bit here. But, you know, she's not the best person in the world. She's, you know, not the guy, doesn't have the greatest morals and so forth. Okay? Give me this water that I thirst not. No, the fact of the matter is she's been kicked out. She's been ostracized by the other women. They go first thing in the morning to go get the water, and she's not allowed. So she goes sometimes when they're not there. And that's when she ran into Jesus a little later in the day. Okay? The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Okay? And I don't have to come back to this place. The other women, they were death on her. She didn't have anything to do with them. They would probably hold up the sign of the cross to her or something like that, you know, to get her to go away because she's considered to be demonic or something. She's been married so many times. That I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's trying to get out of being there in the first place and go and meeting up with the other women because she's going to get mistreated and so forth because they don't like her. They've got stuff against her. Not only that, she's trying to get out of some work. If I don't ever thirst again, then I don't have to come to the well, period, and I don't have to gather water. And I don't have to haul it back to the camp or back to the town. Okay? And basically Jesus says, that's it. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. He says to her, go, call thy husband and come hither. Now, he knew very well she didn't have a husband, that she had had a bunch of them before, and even the guy she was with now was not her husband. He knew that very well. See how Jesus has credentials? Jesus knows all things. Amen? And so he just, that's it. Enough is enough. I've had it with this lady. You go call your husband and come hither, knowing that she doesn't have a husband. So now she's going to have to admit her sin. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast said well, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that you are speaking truly. You're saying a true thing. So here you're living with this guy, he's not even married, you're not even married to him. Not only that, you had five before him. You know, you're a little loose. And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. It's a start. You know he's far more than a prophet, but it's got to go a lot further than that, all right? I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers, and now she tries to entangle him in an exegetical fashion, bringing up some point of law or point of reason or point of place of obedience. Our father worshipped in this mountain. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She's trying to, you know, change the subject and get him to say something else here. So she's still going on her own ideas. It's a shame. She should be changed by that time. But anyway, verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Woman is the Greek word, comes from the Greek word, well, it is the Greek word, gune. Gune, G-U-N-E-Y. It means wife. It means one who generates. It's a woman. Woman, okay? Not his wife. You know, I'm surprised people haven't come up with that, you know, to try to prove he was married, that she was his wife. No, but that's one who can generate. That's one who could have kids. I don't think we're told about having any kids in this particular story, but she's a woman, okay? Believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not. Okay? You don't know what you are worshiping as you are in this false religion that isn't coming out of Judaism. By the way, it goes way, way back to the Canaanites. It goes back and does not recognize Jesus as Messiah or any of that kind of stuff. Okay? We know what we worship, we Jews. We know what we're doing. For salvation is of the Jews. And the Bible says clearly it first goes to the Jews, but then it goes to the Gentiles. So he's not being, you know, exclusive in the sense that there's only one group of people that can be saved. He's not saying that. Salvation is of the Jews. It's from the Jews. Okay? It's because of the Jews, and then come the Gentiles. That is mentioned numerous times through the scriptures, so you better believe that's true, okay? But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Seek in the Greek means to do something for a purpose, to do it in a worshipful way, to inquire, to require, seeking God, seeking to worship God. God is a spirit, it says in verse 24, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Not in the flesh, not in falseness, but in spirit and in truth. You're not there yet, lady, so listen up. And the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. She claims to know that. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Now, I don't know if she was trying to make the point that, you know, Jesus, I don't really need to listen to you on this, but when the Messiah does come, he'll make it clear. I'm sure of that, you know. Well, guess what? That is the Messiah. Lady, you're talking to the Messiah. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the great I am, is basically what Jesus is saying. The disciples then come back from buying their food. They can't figure out why Jesus is talking to this lady. For one thing, Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. For another thing, they don't talk to women. Women were second-class citizens, not even citizens. They were property, okay? you know, what is this woman going to be able to give you? Why are you talking to her? And the woman then left her water pot. She left her water pot. There's no water people without water pots. She left it. And she went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Basically, she's saying, he must be. He must be the Messiah. By the way, the water pot in the Greek is a receptacle for family supply. Jason, you need to get one of them. Huh? You need to get one of them and quit fooling with these pumps. You know what I'm saying? Now you got to spend I don't know how long putting another pump in, don't you? Oh, my. Okay, well, just kidding. But, you know, you could use a water pot. All right. Come, see a man. He told me everything I've ever done. Then they went out of the city. Watch this. And they came to him. Now the town comes out to meet Jesus. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Come on, we brought you some food. You need to get some sustenance here. It's well past noon. I don't know what time it was. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. You know? So what do they think? They think, well, you got a Snickers candy bar hidden in your pocket? I mean, you know, what do you got other stuff to eat? Are you not coming clean with us, so to speak? You got snacks all tucked away? No, that's not what he's talking about. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Somebody bring you something? You didn't have anything before. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. To complete it, to accomplish it, to consummate it. The Greek word is teleo, which of course is the word for perfectly done. Perfectly done. That he sent me to finish his work, and that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm going to do at the cross. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look up right now and look at on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Probably that particular word probably comes from Luke's gospel, which was written quite a bit earlier than John's gospel. And it really has to do with light. It's white unto harvest. There's a light shining in the midst of the darkness. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. So he that works at this stuff and is a part of it, it has wages coming and gathered fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. I'm just asking you to receive it. I'm asking you to give it. People have already gone forth and proclaimed the gospel. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. So they did come out. They talked with him, and he's told them all this stuff, okay? He testified to it, praise God. Maturio is the Greek word here. It's the same word that the word martyr comes from. In a sense, he's setting himself up as a martyr because this giving of the gospel is something that the Jewish leadership did not want him to do. And it's the start of their hating him and wanting to get rid of him. All right. He told me whatever I did. So when the Samaritans, watch this, when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. So he stayed longer. That's what they wanted. And many more believed because of his own word. It became personal to them. In fact, they say it in another minute here. You know, we believe, but not just because you told us. We believe because we know this is true. In verse 42, it says, now we believe, not because of thy saying, not because you told us, for we have heard him ourselves. We've had a personal experience with him. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world, the Deliverer, the Suter, S-U-T-E-R. Okay? Comes from the word to protect and to persevere. That's our Jesus, protecting and persevering. Hallelujah. Now, after 2 days, he departed. Finally, he leaves, and he went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. Jesus teaches several things in this section. First of all, it's in the Spirit, that worship is in the Spirit. Points to the level at which true worship occurs. One must come to God in complete sincerity and with a spirit that is directed by the life and activity of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. Amen. Worship must take place according to the truth of the Father that is revealed in the Son and received through the Spirit. See how all three are there? Those who advocate a worship that sets aside the truth and the doctrines of the Word of God have in reality set aside the only foundation for true worship. These people that have said, you know, God's doing a new thing. You need to put down your Bibles and you need to just, you know, do this and do that. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you need the Word of God. Praise God. Because Christ is the truth. To live in union with Christ requires speaking the truth. To claim to have fellowship with Christ is to possess salvation. Yet not to live and speak according to the truth is to be deceived. Untruth reveals the basic condition of one's heart. The one is still in fundamental opposition to God and is thus unregenerated and outside the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Now in that story, who increased? Jesus. Isn't that what they said earlier? That Jesus needs to increase. So who's got the decrease? Yeah, us. The Samaritans, the Jews, amen? We decrease and Jesus increases. We talked about that in much more detail last week. I'm just pulling the whole thing together. Praise the Lord. You, me, the woman, yeah, everybody is in a position to decrease. And that's how you truly discover the credentials of Jesus. What's his passport look like? Oh, we don't know exactly what his picture looks like. We said that earlier in the children's sermon. But what does his passport look like? Amen? What does his deed to this world look like? Amen? Discover his credentials. He is who he is. Let him be truly manifested. And then let me ask the question, and who gets the glory in that? When Jesus is manifested, who gets the glory? God. Amen? God. Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. And that's what the credentials that belong to Jesus, that belong to the Christ, that's what they are looking at. That's what they are looking to reveal to us. How obvious he is, how conspicuous he is. Remember, that's what it means. That's what phanero means. Amen? So in this season of Epiphany, that's what it means. Amen? Glory to God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for a time here today to delve into this, to let you delve into our hearts with this. Hallelujah. You are the one to be glorified. You are the one to be exalted. Hallelujah. You are the one, dear God. You are the one. So we thank you. We need you today, all these days, and we need for you to be obvious. We can't sit around and wonder anymore. It's got to be more than wonder. We see a lot of places in the Bible where it says this person wondered about that and somebody else wondered about this. We've got to get beyond wondering and come into a place where we let you be everything. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, and we do need you. Hallelujah. In these last of days, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Praise the Lord.